Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Patriots have a new quarterback. The Cam New watch is finally over.
I like.
Veteran QB is also reportedly, quote, hungrier than ever.
Cam Newton can move with that football.
There goes Cam. It's the quarterback draw.
Cam Newton can add a dynamic aspect.
Back to the highlight reel that one. Somersault for the touchdown.
Delivered on goal.
Newton sits in the air and he got a touchdown.
He's going to be difficult to defend.
Number three, Felger and Maz. Thursday, July 9th, 4:04 p.m. Murray's alongside. Mike's off again. Joe Murray here in the hot box, the crystal chamber. Again, that is part, what you just heard is part of the Patriots hype machine on Cam Newton. And every time I listen to it, I get more and more invested in this idea because I don't know how you listen to that and watch it and think that Jared Stidham is going to be the quarterback of the Patriots or Greg Bedard, Brian Hoyer. Like, really? Those guys are going to start over Cam Newton? The first comment you hear in that thing, and I don't know who the reporter is, saying the Patriots have a new quarterback. The Patriots have a new quarterback. Plain and simple. What, a backup? We're supposed to get excited over a guy who's going to be a backup?
Yeah, you don't put something like that out for a guy that's going to get cut or back up Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer. It's not what you do. That's just proof. This is the guy in 2020. This is who we signed. It's Cam Newton. Go get ready to buy his jerseys with the number one on it.
Yeah, that's all you're doing. You just want to sell merchandise. It's okay. It's okay to market something that's not going to happen.
So, Jimmy, you really...
I don't know why you keep saying... Jimmy, you couldn't be more wrong about this. He's going to be the quarterback this year.
He's not, because he's not going to have a chance. His arm is soft. He's not going to understand the playbook. It's going to be Brian Hoyer.
That's so not...
You're adhering to the... Or you're subscribing to the Greg Bedard theory.
It's actually my theory, but, you know, I'll... It's fine. Oh, it's so, okay. If you want to give credit to Greg Bedard, it's fine. He's a real reporter, so that's fine. I'm just a rumor-mongering producer.
So Greg Bedard stole it from you?
Probably. Steals everything else from me.
Look, as a reporter, you know, sometimes you stumble across a small piece of information from someone else, and you can turn it into a little bit more. I mean, maybe that's what happened
there.
Happens
to me quite often.
I wouldn't. Yeah, it happened to me. I'll tell you that. So, but really, I'm with Murray on this. I just think there's no way they are going to do all of this. And they are going to hype the crap out of Cam Newton. And then what? Cut him? Are you kidding me? He put a photo of himself on Instagram digging into the playbook. And so this has evoked actually sort of a couple of responses, which to me are interesting. You know, it's one or the other. And that is that the idea of Newton digging into the playbook, and on Instagram, Newton referred to it as, and I don't know, that font he uses is kind of funky.
It's something that, and I want to call it Wingdings, which is that goofy font you can use, but it's not. It's actually something you have to pay for. You can download an app and use Cam Newton's font. It's like $2.99. It's ridiculous and unreadable, but be that as it may, it's not something that you can just get on Windows or your Mac.
So we had a call earlier say that Newton referred to it as chemistry. And what he wrote, in fact, yeah, the playbook was chemistry. And that, in fact, I'm sorry, but yes. And that, in fact, what Newton said was this bleep is like calculus. Okay? And, you know, the bleep is pretty easy to figure out. So the idea that he's digging into that playbook, and we say this all the time, when someone comes here, it's a big undertaking. They have a complex offense. It takes years to master. It took years with Brady for him to master it. And is this a bad sign that Newton's already calling it calculus, or the image of him digging into the playbook, is that a good sign?
I think it's a good sign. I don't know. I can understand because, you know, people are, I think, inherently negative now. So they'd look at this as a negative, like, oh, it's too tough for Cam and he doesn't get it. He didn't strike me as that kind of guy. I don't think he's like a Chad Johnson type that comes here and is like, well, I don't get it. I'm just going to run routes the way I always ran them in Cincinnati. No, I think what he's saying is this is tough, but it's nose to the grindstone and I'm going to learn this. It's not like he was looking at it and throws the playbook to the side like, I'm just going to do what I did in Carolina. It ain't that at all. I think it's a positive. He's looking at it. He's ready to learn.
I mean, it's hard not to feel better about it, I think, because again, there's a perception, rightly or wrongly, that Newton is so athletic that he can be the kind of guy that ignores a playbook because he's at his best when the play breaks down. I think he is committed to proving to everybody. And the more you see about it, again, the other thing you saw in that video is hungrier than ever. The Patriots have a new quarterback, hungrier than ever. Cam Newton's digging into the playbook. He's serious. I still think the bigger question is whether he's healthy. So if he's healthy,
I think it's the only question.
I mean, Murray, they're catching him at the right time in terms of his career. They're catching him at the right time. He's been out a couple of years. In some ways, maybe he's even had a little time to heal. Now, he had foot surgery in December, and that was an injury he suffered here in a preseason game, if you remember. Mm-hmm. But he had foot surgery in December, so that was several months ago. But he hasn't really taken any hits now in a long, long time. He's been deprived of the thing that has made him who he is. That is his identity. And that is the ability to play football and play quarterback. Nobody wanted him. And there was a comment by Newton, and it's, you know, been all over the web about how he wants to stick it up everybody's backside and prove all the people wrong who didn't invest in him. Because there just wasn't a market out there for him. And now he's in New England with Bill Belichick. Like, all of those things should make you feel good. Those things should make you feel good. Now, as you know, the details as they go along, hard to know. Hard to know if he's healthy. Hard to know what kind of chemistry he's going to have, particularly with someone like Edelman, who is very familiar with the playbook. We'll see how all that shakes out. But the idea, Cam Newton feels like he's invested. He feels like he's invested.
Hey, Maz, I'm watching a video right now that Boston.com tweeted out. Cam Newton throwing passes to N'Keal Harry. Getting a little cammy over here.
I'm sure you are, Joe. That's why you're in the hot box back there by yourself. We don't need to see any particulars. Ian's in Illinois. Go ahead, Ian.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm a little late to the conversation today because of work, but I wanted to disagree with you guys on a point you made yesterday about this hurting Stidham's development. I think that this could actually help Stidham's development. I'll tell you why. Obviously, you touched on the point that they both had Mels on at Auburn. Do you guys know what kind of relationship Newton and Stidham have? Is it kind of a fraternal brotherhood quarterback type deal, or is it more than that? Because if you're getting a motivated Newton to come in and play, who also has a good relationship with the quarterback that he's not maybe mentoring, but who he can mold that can take over the job next year, and I don't know how that hurts Stidham's development. I know Felger has talked about maybe the Patriots had a change of heart. Maybe they had a change of heart in that they want to implement some of Auburn's playbook instead of just doing what Tom Brady did for the last 20 years.
Okay, so Joe, when you say, though, that you don't think it's going to hurt, you think it could help, and then you ask if Newton had the relationship with Stidham, you don't know, right?
No, I'm wondering if they maybe just have a relationship as we play quarterback both at Auburn.
Sure.
There's kind of a brotherhood there.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I'm also wondering if maybe there was a little more to it, if it's a good relationship. I'd like to know that before I make my point, but I think that it could help Stidham, and maybe Newton was brought in to help install some of the stuff that they've got, but you're also getting a healthy, motivated player on top of it. I just think it all lines up with them, and then Stidham may be in a better position to take over next year.
Okay, so look, again, I'm not completely X-ing out Jarrett Stidham, okay? I'm not canceling Jarrett Stidham. I think Murray's headed in that direction, and he might be right.
No, I just don't even think about him. He's a complete non-factor now. He's now on his career path to being a career backup.
Okay, but you don't think there's any real future for him as a starter here in New England long term?
No.
Casey, I don't believe that. I believe there's still a chance. I don't know. I think that a year from now we'll have an answer, though. basically a year from now we'll have an answer less.
Again, after all those stories and this narrative of, oh, no, I've never seen a young quarterback look this good in Patriots training camp before for the past year, and then I go sign Cam Newton. No, it was a fallacy. It was fake. Fake. You got lied to. All those beat reporters. Or something happened with Jarrett Stidham that pissed Bill Belichick and the team off, and he's no longer the future for this team. So you have Cam Newton, and we'll see past Cam Newton, but it ain't going to be Jarrett Stidham.
I'm still blown away by the people who think that somehow Stidham is going to start this year. It really does. It cracks me up. After that, after what the Patriots did yesterday with Cam Newton, pumping him up like they have on the field, off the field, Cam Newton, the community guy, Cam Newton, the motivated athlete, Cam Newton, the spectacular athlete who can do things on the field that very few other people have ever done, Cam Newton, the dynamic quarterback, Cam Newton, all of that. They're going to bench him? They're going to cut him?
No shot.
Murray, I am so with Murray on this one. I think there's zero chance. He's here to start. He is here to start. Everybody else is backing up Cam Newton. Liam's in Westwood. Liam, what do you got?
Won't take a snap with the Patriots in the regular season.
Well, I was just wondering if you guys thought there was at least a little bit of value in starting Stidham, at least for the first week, just because he sat a year behind Brady. I mean, he's been in the system. Just to pull him out with a couple months to go before the season starts, and to throw a guy in who really hasn't proven himself over the past couple of years, and just with no knowledge of the playbook. I just think that seems kind of stupid this late. I'll hang up.
Murray,
is it the lockdown? Have people been like cooped up too long? I get it. Like, everyone's kind of lost their minds, but to this extent, like, I don't get it. I really don't.
So I'll tell you the other thing that I don't think people are factoring in is that there hasn't been an off season, obviously, and Newton joined late. Even if there were an off season, he joined late. Not that the Patriots have been able to really do all that much. The season's probably not going to start on time. So whatever time Newton has missed up to now, he might actually reclaim some of it on the back end. And I don't know if it'll be a lot or a little. Maybe they'll start 2 weeks late. Maybe they'll start on time. Maybe they'll start a month late. I have no idea, but it certainly doesn't feel like the NFL is going to start early in September. I'd be willing to bet it's a little bit later than that. Maybe it's a couple of weeks that they wipe out.
Let's start in week one, and then we'll go to Cam Newton. Huh?
Murray, it's got nothing to do with the pandemic. No. I mean, these idiots were out there long before the pandemic.
Yeah, but did this exacerbate the idiocy? Like, being in too much?
Oh, absolutely.
Too many stories,
yes.
Spending too much time on the internet, drinking too much? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there.
Yes. Yeah,
but it
no.
definitely feels like we as a society have gotten way dumber in the last 3 to 4 months.
Oh, we have. I mean, I think that that's true. So we're angrier, we're dumber, we're more impatient, all those things. But the core stupidity was always there, Murray. It was always there. It's just a matter of what brought it to the surface. You yourself have said it's been degrees of anger since this thing began.
Yeah, yeah.
I would take that same sort of formula, and I'd apply it to stupidity instead of anger.
Right.
Okay? And so it's degrees of stupidity.
This is also going to get worse, our stupidness.
Right. Another tenet of the Jimmy Stewart pandemic theory, which is, Jimmy, what? Every day, welcome to 2020, every day a little worse than the one before it, and
we're never getting out of this.
Of all the pessimistic things I've ever heard come out of a human being's mouth, that might be the most, which is why it absolutely makes me laugh every time I hear it. I think it's absolutely hysterical.
Should be a t-shirt.
617-779-0985. More of your wonderful phone calls when we come back.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
I do think that you'll see a lot of different stuff that you never would have dreamed of with Tom Brady. You're going to see some RPOs. You're going to see Newton run the ball. And he's different even than most quarterbacks running the ball because he's such a power runner at that position. Third and two, he'll think nothing of keeping it, lowering his shoulder and trying to move the pile for the first down, as opposed to just trying to Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson and avoid guys and get around the edge. So I think we'll see some of that. The other part, I think you're going to see a lot of similarities. I think that they like the core principles of what they do offensively, spreading the field vertical and horizontal, quick timing routes, getting the ball out, in rhythm and doing some of those things.
Somebody, Paul Perillo, Patriots.com, visited with us earlier, talking about how he expects Cam Newton to... Or let me rephrase, how he thinks the Patriots will find a way to use Cam Newton in that offense. And so it does. It's an interesting question there about how they're going to make it work in terms of continuing the development of Stidham, yet running an offense that highlights and operates around the talents of Newton, because it would seem that those things are different. And Joe Murray just sent this along because we had a caller in the last segment say, well, what was the relationship between Newton and Stidham because of the Auburn connection? And obviously they didn't overlap. Newton was in the league when Stidham got to Auburn. But Newton being obviously probably the most famous alum and certainly the most famous quarterback to come out of there, maybe he had some contact with Stidham. Someone asked about the relationship. And Joe Murray found an exchange between a reporter and Gus Malzahn, the quarterback or the coach at Auburn, who was the offensive coordinator when Newton was there, is
correct.
That right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was, there's some continuity there in terms of what Auburn was doing. And Malzahn said, "I think Cam is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play college football, and one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL." Let me back up just by telling you the question was, what has a better chance of happening, Jarrett Stidham starting for the Patriots or Cam Newton starting for another team? And Malzahn answered, "I think Cam is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play college football, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. He's got a chip on his shoulder. I've seen that look before. I think everyone's in trouble. I expect him to have a good year. And Stidham, I think he's in a super spot. That system fits his skill set well. I think he'll seize the opportunity. I think he'll get better and better." So just when you read the second half of that, he's telling you Stidham's got a ways to go. He needs to improve, but he's in a good spot, right? There's development there with Stidham that has to take place. He raves about Newton, as you would expect.
One review is glowing. The other is, we'll see.
Nah, he'll seize the opportunity.
Yeah.
Love a job.
I mean, now, when was this asked, Joe? This
April 15th.
Okay, so this is obviously long before Newton ended up in New England. Because, again, he says what's more likely to happen is the question, Stidham starting for the Patriots or Newton starting for another team? They ended up in the same place, which he didn't know when he answered this question. But the way he does certainly suggests that he looks at Newton and says, you can't possibly compare these guys. One's a superstar. The other guy's a fourth-round pick who's just trying to get acclimated to the league. And Murray, when you think of it in those terms, isn't it preposterous that people still think or look at Stidham and think that he could beat out Newton?
Yes.
I mean, it's asinine.
Really no other way to put it.
It's really asinine. This guy was a mid-round pick that the Patriots think, well, okay, with a little bit of work, maybe he can be a decent quarterback in the NFL. Maybe we can win with him. He can be a game manager and, develop over time into something a little bit more than that. Cam Newton? Cam Newton is a freaking rock star is what he is. They brought in a rock star. And that their intention is to let that rock star loose. That's what they're going to do. Evan's in Braintree. Get it, Evan.
Hey, guys, you keep talking about athletic. I think Cam is not as athletic as you guys think. If you look at 2018, how many rushes did he have for over 20 yards?
Okay, so, Evan, I don't know. What's the answer?
Two. So okay. My point is, he fell off from 17 to 18, lost a step. Now you're talking injuries, lose another step, and I think he could be more of an average athlete.
No.
And I think I mean, average in the league as athletic quarterbacks, closer to average than above average, but closer to average. And I think, what do you guys think if they're 4-4? Because Chiefs and Seahawks, I think, are losses. If they go 4-4, what do you do at that point in the season?
Okay, so look, it's an interesting question. But again, I would put what you're describing under the umbrella or category of health. If he's not the same guy physically, well, then that's different. That's different. And you might be right. He might not be. I mean, it's possible.
These last couple of seasons, I mean, like, just take last year out of the equation because he was hurt in preseason. That was it. But going back to 2018, like, yeah, Joe, you brought it up. He's, what, 0-8 in his last eight starts? So, like, yeah, I thought he was washed up. But if he's healthy, he's going to be close to what he was prior to 2018.
I just think the wear and tear, the guy was on the football field every week. Took no games. I think he started 124 of 125 games. Like, he played every week, wanted to be out on the field. I want a guy like that on my team. But average athlete, this guy's 6'5", 250. It's like Dante Hightower playing quarterback out there. Like, he's not an average athlete. Did anybody watch that game, the Patriots versus Panthers, a couple of years ago, where Cam Newton, like, destroyed the Patriots? He is not an average athlete. And even coming back...
Okay, so, but Joe, he's not an average athlete if he's the same guy.
I don't even care now. He's not an average athlete. He's a huge man that can move in the pocket. I do think he holds the football a little bit too long. I think he overthrows people at times, and that's why they've had bigger receivers. But... You know, I don't care if he's only had a couple of yards over. I don't want him rushing that much.
I'll tell you, just looking at these numbers here, that 2018 season he's talking about, and I don't see the he still ran. I mean, Newton ran over 100 times that year. It's not like he didn't run. He absolutely ran. He started 14 games instead of 16. And that's also the year that his passing percentage went up quite a bit. So... Now, if you remember, at that time, one of the things they wanted to do when they brought in Norv Turner was to try to bring Newton along and get him to throw more frequently, rely less on his legs, so just to preserve him for longevity's sake. And, you know, he's been hurt since. I mean, his shoulder certainly was a problem, and then the foot injury. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he's not the same athlete. I mean, he's taken a lot of shots. To me, the question is, what's he going to look like when he shows up on the field in a real game? What's it going to look like? But Murray, don't you remember? Didn't people wonder whether Randy Moss was the same athlete when they brought him in?
Yeah.
And then after week one, when he absolutely obliterated the Jets, was there any doubt?
No. And even I was one of those guys at that time too. And Randy Moss is one of my top 10 favorite players ever. But when he came here, it was like, well, what's he got left in the tank? Because he had pretty much given up that last season with the Oakland Raiders. After that first game with the Jets, it's like, oh, Jesus, real Randy Moss is back. I think you're probably going to end up seeing that with Cam Newton, too. And that week one, you know, hopefully that the NFL season kicks off on time or maybe a month later. Are you going to be surprised at all if Cam Newton looks like Cam Newton of 4 or 5 years ago?
No.
Not at all.
No. And look, the Moss thing, and just quickly, because people somehow don't think that the Moss analogy totally applies with Newton. I mean, I think there's a loose comparison to be made there. I'm not telling you it's perfect. But do you think there's a comparison to be made between Moss and Newton? I mean, I know their problems were a little different. But don't you remember people saying Randy Moss's legs were gone? He had hamstring problems. Remember that?
Yeah. It wasn't just that he had quit, right? It was that he wasn't the same player physically anymore either.
And he didn't have the same burst. And he wasn't quite the same guy. And there was, you know, there were motivational issues always with Moss.
People thought he was going to get cut in the preseason because he couldn't play. Remember, his hamstrings were a problem in the preseason.
Yeah, in retrospect, what the Patriots were doing was keeping him in the garage, keeping him, you know, under wraps, and then they unleashed him on the league. And I do wonder whether something like that could happen with Newton. I'm not telling you it is or it isn't. I'm not making the prediction.
Well, Tony, you've mentioned how fascinating.
I have learned from the guy who sits in this seat usually just to straddle that fence.
Well, you talk about how fascinating the relationship is between the two. Like, isn't that what Belichick's great at? Like, if we're going to applaud Belichick for anything, I do think Cam Newton kind of landed in their laps. I do. All right. But at the same time, like, he knows how to manage these type of personalities and these players. I think that's what Belichick does best. And I think this guy, Cam Newton in particular, I think Belichick knows how to coach that type of guy. And if he doesn't have it, he's going to pull the trigger just like that. But for me, I think he's the guy. They're believing in him. But I also think, like, maybe there's something in Cam where, yeah, he shows that he's motivated. But I think the team wants to show it. And we asked earlier, were there any other hype videos? There was not one for Tim Tebow. I looked for it. It was a transaction wire. It was the same thing with Jarrell Revis. You know what I mean? They barely put it up on the Patriots website. But this thing's a hype video. They're hyping it up. And I think they're trying to get behind Cam Newton because they believe in Cam Newton.
I mean, they're going to a new level with this guy in terms of the hype. They are. They're going to a new level with this guy. And I look at Newton and I think, man, if he's healthy, and what Belichick, I think, does better than anybody, Joe, or as well as anyone, is identify the guys who are motivated and who are serious again. And so those guys who aren't serious and aren't motivated, I think Bill is not going to invest a lot of time in them. So he took a shot on a guy like Albert Haynesworth, and he said, what the hell? But they got rid of him fast, if you remember. But a guy like a Corey Dillon, who was pissed off a little bit, or a lot, and Randy Moss, who was pissed off a little bit at the time, clearly, and was looking for someone who could get him the ball, who had a clue. And now this guy?
Revis, too.
Yeah, right, even yeah. Revis. He's good at identifying those guys.
After he was toiling in Tampa Bay.
And I do wonder if, you know, he looks at it now differently than he did in the past and said, my mistake with Moss was extending in him beyond that short period of time. So you get a little window with these kinds of players. You get to maximize it. And boy, they are pumping the crap out of Cam Newton. I almost said humping the crap. I got hyping and pumping mixed up. But that would have been kind of an awkward thing to say. In any case, Joe Murray's got your headlines, and then we'll touch. We'll hit on our buddy or hit with our buddy Alan in Florida, who wants to hit on something that we haven't spent a lot of time on this week. But I think it's worthy of bringing up. We'll do that in the next segment. Here's Joe.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Show some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Our buddy Alan in Florida has been on hold for a while. Wants it to touch on something we have not spent a lot of time on this week, but I think today it's worthy to bring up. Alan in Florida. Go ahead, Alan. What do you got?
Well, I tell you, Maz, I will be honest with you. I'm a little disappointed in you. I called yesterday. You wouldn't take the call. I thought this is a time you could have stood out with Felger on vacation. This is a very, very serious thing. A guy like Russo spent 3 days, 3 hours a day on it. And you didn't want to talk about it. And you know what I'm talking about.
Well, Alan, but Alan, I have you on now. I mean, I just honestly...
What I want to say in my opinion, I wanted to get your opinion. My opinion is he should be banned from football forever. And owners like the Eagles owner, Lurie, who's Jewish, Kraft, who's Jewish, everyone should stand up. And this is going away because the media won't, people like you, Maz, and I love you, won't have the guts to talk about it.
Alan,
and
I got news for you. This is not going away. I'll tell you that right now. It's not going away. But keep going.
It's an absolute disgrace. And to pretend that, you know, he doesn't know anything. I mean, the man did supposedly go to a college, question mark. But anyway, I mean, it's just, and then this other one, Steven Jackson speaks out, and the NFL, I mean, they can suspend my boy for four, you know, games for blowing up a football, but I mean, they don't want to touch anything like this. And, you know.
Okay, so Alan, just quickly, two things. First of all, we don't spend a ton of time on political discussions anyway.
I know that.
Okay, hold on, whoa, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet, okay? So there isn't you're not going to find a person who supports what DeSean Jackson's actions or his beliefs. You're not going to find a person who believes that. But the call screener also says that you wanted to talk about Julian Edelman, which to me is the part of the story that I really like. So tell me, what is it about Edelman?
I Julian Edelman has a lot of class. I respect him. What he did today, I respect him. He's a better man than me, because I wouldn't do anything like that. I wouldn't look at him. I wouldn't spit on him. He's a disgrace to society. But Julian Edelman, I have all the respect in the world for what he did. He's a better man than me.
Okay, so Alan, again.
And it wasn't just Edelman, too. I mean, Edelman put out the video, which, you know, I thought was tastefully done, that he'd like to talk to DeSean Jackson. Mitchell Schwartz, offensive tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs, also posted. So you had a handful of Jewish players in the NFL that have been outspoken about this. What I personally get irked about is that there wasn't much outspokenness from many NFL players when you had Drew Brees a few weeks ago say what he said, which I thought was distasteful at the time. But, I mean, it was like kicking a hornet's nest for what he said, for, you know, I'm not going to take a knee, I stand for the American flag. We all know what Drew Brees said, and it was at the timing. That was bad timing, if nothing else. And, boy, it was a dog pile on Drew Brees. And this, which is reprehensible, what DeSean Jackson said, and I think there should be some sort of repercussions, maybe a fine. I don't think he should lose his job. I don't think anyone should lose their job for something that they said. You know, if you need some sort of re-education, fine, a fine, something like that. But people losing their gigs over what they say, like, I'm sorry, I'm not for that.
Okay, haven't the Eagles indicated that they're going to do that in terms of disciplining Jackson?
Yeah, but words and actions are completely different.
Okay, right? So and listen, I agree, words and actions are different, but I think there is discipline coming for DeSean Jackson. The Edelman part of the story I love, and I'm not trying to diminish what DeSean Jackson said. I just think that it was so profoundly stupid that there isn't any possible way to defend it. I mean, the guy's an idiot, plain and simple, like no two ways around it. Edelman today, for those who missed it, DeSean Jackson posted some anti-Semitic remarks on his Instagram the other day. I think it was his Instagram, but it was on social media.
Yeah, Instagram.
And there's been tremendous backlash for it, and well-deserved. And it's just completely, utterly idiotic. Julian Edelman today put his own Instagram message up in response to DeSean Jackson. And I thought it was one of the more, Alan in Florida called it, you know, classy. Which, again, for Alan in Florida to like anything should tell you what type of emotion it should invoke in you. Edelman invited DeSean Jackson to the Holocaust Museum, okay, in Washington, D.C. And, in fact, I'll read you the very comment that Edelman put up on his Instagram page. DeSean, let's do a deal. How about we go to D.C. and I take you to the Holocaust Museum, and then you take me to the Museum of African American History and Culture. And then afterwards, we'll grab some burgers and we'll have those uncomfortable conversations. This world needs a little more love, compassion, and empathy. And I thought Edelman's handling of this, I thought, was magnificent. I mean, to me, one of the more tactful, thoughtful, you know, I don't want to say creative because everybody's on social media now, but more tactful and thoughtful ways to address this issue without just completely, you know, again, it was different because everybody's condemning what DeSean Jackson posted.
Well, not everyone. I mean, you had former NBA player Steven Jackson basically double down on it.
Okay, so that's true.
Yeah. And with him, you know, like, it's a unique case, too. Like, nothing makes it right, but, like, he was legitimate friends with George Floyd.
Correct.
So, you know, he's amped up and, you know, so I don't want to say give him a pass, but, like, you know, I don't think his head's in the right place right now. So Steven Jackson, I think, is a unique case to be defending DeSean Jackson right now. But it's unique, you know, so the way that Edelman handled this, you're right. Like, how many people just want to, like, demonize, lose your job, that's it, you should lose your career, it's over. Whereas Edelman is just looking to be like, hey, man, like, I think you're misguided, even if a bit stupid or very stupid. Let's talk it up. Like, you want to learn more about Jewish faith, and I can show you the atrocities of the Holocaust. Like, come with me here, and then I'll go to the African American Museum with you. We can talk it up, man. Have some burgers, and, like, so, you know, that kind of discourse basically doesn't even exist anymore, thanks to social media and the world we're living in. So, you know, credit to Edelman. Whether or not DeSean Jackson actually follows up on that will remain to be seen. But good for Edelman for, you know, putting out the olive branch.
I mean, I give Edelman a lot of credit for it.
Hell yeah,
really, I give Edelman a lot of credit for it. You know, you listen to me, I'll listen to you. How about that? How about that? We'll go have a couple of burgers. I'll take you to the Holocaust Museum. You take me to the African-American Heritage Museum. and then we can talk it out. I mean, then maybe we can both learn something. So I give Edelman a lot of credit for it. We'll get back to your calls next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit HouseOfPossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's HouseOfPossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, we'll jump right back to your phone calls. Spent the large majority of the day on the Cam Newton hype videos that the Patriots put out. They are really investing in this guy, man. They are hyping the crap out of Cam Newton. As well they should. I'm not criticizing them for it, but it does give you some indication as to what their expectations are. At least I believe so. Murray believes so. As to what their expectations are for Newton once the season starts. Do you hype the crap out of a guy who's going to be a backup quarterback? Or a guy you're going to cut? You spend that time, you put out that video, that type of campaign, you line up behind a guy like that if you're going to cut him?
No shot.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it. You know, with the Patriots, I suppose you can never rule out anything. But it feels to me like they are all in on Cam Newton. Cam Newton's all in on the Patriots. And Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer are your backups. And the only real question is how healthy Cam Newton is.
And again, just like the universal support you saw from the Patriots locker room and the news of that signing, how many guys in that room immediately posted on their social media accounts showing how pumped that they were that they got Cam Newton. James White, Stephon Gilmore, the McCourties, veteran players who matter on that team. And then a video like this comes out. You can't cut him. You can't not start him. It's Cam Newton. They're telling you, we've invested in Cam Newton. Cam Newton's the quarterback in 2020.
Yeah, and investment doesn't necessarily mean the money, right?
Because
the money isn't much. But they are committing to Cam Newton, it feels like.
Yeah, it's from the football aspect.
Yeah, right.
Never mind the money.
That's right. In the locker room, they are. On the field, they are.
And you're going to cut him or not start him? You'd have a mutiny.
No, so it's all about his health, Murray. It's 100% about the health. If he's fine, he's playing. Tim's in California. What do you got, Tim?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you got?
Good. Actually, it's Ken, not Tim.
So, oh, I'm sorry. It says Tim here, but that's okay. My apologies.
Don't even worry about it. I'm actually originally a Quincy guy. So what I got to say, I've been watching you guys on TV because obviously I can't get you on the radio out here. But, I mean, it's pretty simple. Bottom line is Bill wants to win. Patriots fans want to win. And the last I checked, the Pats have the toughest schedule in the NFL going into this season, correct?
Yes.
The way I look at it, with Newton, if he's healthy, there's no way in heck he's not on the field. With Newton, you got a legitimate 10-6 record, good shot for that. With Stidham, you're lucky if you're going to get 6-10. You got a 31-year-old ex-MVP quarterback, and you got a, 23-year-old kid that's taken 3 snaps in the NFL. I mean, it's not even a question.
Yeah, so... go ahead. Sorry, Tim.
No, go ahead. Ken.
Oh, Ken, I'm sorry. Right, it just says Tim on the screen. Jeez, I already forgot. That just goes to show you just put it in front of me and I read what's in front of me. You spelled Deshaun, D-E-S-H-A-U-N, and I think Deshaun Watson, and I see Deshaun Jackson, and I don't know who the hell you're talking about. Tell me, that sounds like the most pathetic thing you've ever heard, that I didn't put those two things together yesterday. Holy crap. But I would tell him, to me, there's a one caveat, and that is the health of the player. The health of the player is everything here in Cam Newton. If he's healthy, come on. You're really going to mention Jared Stidham right now in the same breath as Cam Newton? Please. Michael's in Connecticut. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. Hypothetical question. So it's 10 a.m. on Saturday, and Edelman receives a text on his phone. Hey, Jules, it's Stid. Got some time today to throw around? While he's reading it, another text comes in. Hello, Julian. Cam here. Would love to work on route trees with you. You in? How does that open the answer?
What do you think?
He talks to Julian. He says, I'm sorry. He talks to Cam and he says, I'll be right down.
Yeah, something like that. As I would say to Stidham, oh, man, sorry, I had another commitment. Yeah, it's somewhere else going on.
TTYL to Stidham, and then with Cam, yeah, time and place. I'll
oh, no question.
The actual response is he FaceTimes Tom Brady and says, Tom, where are you at?
Yeah, or Tom, what would you do? Right, help me out with this one. That's fair, Jimmy. Al is in a car. Al, what do you got?
Hey, I got my point was saying there's absolutely no way Stidham's going to start. How are you going to sign Cam Newton to a contract with incentives? Okay, if you were just going to sign a backup, you would have been straight money. There you go. You're being a backup. But incentive base, there's no way he's not going to start. It's like
that's another good point.
Night and day.
Yeah.
So I don't, boy, the kid screaming in the background is driving me crazy.
Incentive, you know, the incentives are there so that, you know, they are achievable, yeah. Right? Theoretically.
I mean, Jameis Winston made, what, $5 million as a backup? And that was to, oh, it might have been less than that, right?
No, he got his guarantee was only like $1.1
million. That's what I mean. So, you know, if he took a backup job, that's probably what he's getting. At least the incentives probably means he can be a starter to get those. And the Patriots want to capitalize on that.
See, I look at the contract to me is not the big reason, though, because, again, the incentives are in there because Newton has been hurt. And Newton says, well, how do I make some money if I play? I mean, if I'm healthy and I can play, then you should pay me more than the $1 million. So they put the incentives in there. Like, I don't think that that relates to the backup. I think that that relates to the health. The obvious difference between Jameis Winston and Cam Newton is that Jameis Winston has Drew Brees in front of him. Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback. So Jameis Winston's got Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer.
You mean Cam Newton, you said.
What'd I say? What'd I say?
Winston.
Oh, Cam Newton has those two guys in front of him.
Yeah.
Like, really?
There's not much worry there.
Oh, please stop.
And the only thing to add to that, Maz, is the Patriots. I know Cam Newton fell in their lap, but they could have signed Andy Dalton. They could have signed Jameis Winston. They waited for Cam Newton. They think Cam Newton's the guy.
I mean, part of the reason Cam Newton came here and agreed to these terms is because he looks at Stidham and Hoyer and says, that's all I have to do is beat out those guys. Like, that's it? And I make my money if I'm healthy? I'm in. Where do I sign? At that stage, there was no market for him, which he's pissed off about, which is good. That'll help the Patriots. He's nice and pissed off about it. And then on top of it, they say, well, if you're healthy and you can play. And he's thinking, even if I'm not healthy, if I'm at 70%, I'm better than those two hacks. I'll beat out both of those chumps. I'll be the guy 16 weeks. I know I can play better in my sleep than those two nitwits. Like, oh, geez, that's an easy one for Cam Newton. If I were him, I'd take that challenge every single time. Jack is in Melrose on Jarrett Stidham and the question of whether or not Cam Newton's arrival here affects Stidham's development. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, the reason Newton is here in the first place is because Belichick doesn't think Stidham is ready for this year.
I agree.
So they signed Cam Newton, bring him in for a one-year prove-it deal. And you said that hinders Stidham's development because it changes the system and all that. But do you really think, after 20 years of using the same offensive system, Bill Belichick is going to change it just because Cam Newton is here? The only thing that I think changes is more RPOs, more scrambles, and options. That's the only thing I think changes.
Okay, Jack, I got to let you go because your phone blows.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a complete overhaul, but there's going to be tweaks that will, you know, help play into the way that Cam Newton has played in his career and as it should be.
So there's a, you know, there's a happy medium in there is what he's saying.
They're using each other for a year.
Yeah.
That's it.
But he's also saying there's a happy medium in terms of the playbook, that they can still keep the same playbook, can still keep the fundamentals or the essence of the same offense, and just incorporate some things that serve or suit Newton's talents better than they might Stidham's or certainly Brady's.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I just want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see how that works. I'm interested in that. That, to me, is an intriguing challenge and an interesting challenge. Because you're talking about all kinds of different skill sets there. You're going from a 42-year-old Tom Brady, who was a pocket passer entirely in his career, let alone at the end. And after drafting Jarrett Stidham, who's certainly more athletic than Brady, but he's not as athletic as Newton, to Cam Newton, who is one of the most athletic and gigantic quarterbacks ever to play the game. I want to see how they do this. I'll tell you who the guy who's really in the middle of it all is McDaniels. McDaniels is the guy who, in the middle of it all, has got to find a way to make it all work. And how am I going to incorporate? I think it's a huge, huge year for McDaniels. If the Patriots offense goes sideways or backwards, especially now that Newton is here, ooh, McDaniels' reputation takes a big hit, doesn't it? Doesn't it really take a huge hit? Because I, for one, think that McDaniels is largely a product of Tom Brady. Now, the thing that flies in the face of that was 2008, where Castle took over a quarterback, and by the end of the year, the offense was damn good, and they figured that thing out. How you could even say 2018 flies in the face of that, because they altered the way they were playing on offense by the end of the year, and they won a Super Bowl.
Well, 08 still is like the most overrated season in history. I mean, they returned a team that basically almost went 19-0, and then, you know, the Brady gets hurt, and they put in a quarterback who lost every big game that year. So
true, but it also never started a game since high school.
Yeah.
And won 11-5.
It's overrated.
I mean, do you think Matt Castle sucks?
Yep.
How many coaches do you think could go 11-5 with him?
Meh, still. Man, again, it's more good. Yeah, it's more about the surrounding.
He was almost cut in the preseason, too.
Yeah, I still think I give McDaniels some credit for that year. I'm not telling you. I think that team is overrated and overhyped too, Murray. I do. But I do think that offensively by the end of the year, if you remember it, they were playing well. Yeah. And Castle was pretty good by the end of that season. So anyway, top of the hour here, longest commercial-free segment. Joe Murray will get you caught up on the latest in the world of sports, and there are steps taking place or developments taking place as we inch closer to a return to play in the NBA and the NHL. Joe will get you caught up on that, and we will continue with the Cam Newton versus Jared Edelman discussion and the hype around Cam Newton on Felger and Maz with Jim Murray.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit HouseOfPossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's HouseOfPossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.